When I was a kid, I used to listen to the radio a lot. I remember lying out on the floor and losing myself in the world that the radio created. And as I grew up, I always fancied doing a radio show. I remember one day driving when I heard Keith Moon and Viv Stanchel out of The Who and the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. They had a little radio show, and it was kind of anarchic, and it was a bit crazy, and it was good, and it was their personal taste in music, and I remember thinking, that would be good to do, that'd be the kind of show I'd like to do. So from that germ of an idea has grown Ubu Jubu. In Ubu Jubu, we try and take tracks from the vaults, something that I collected a long time ago, and brush the dust off it, and play it for you, fresh as a daisy. Sometimes on the show, we'll go to sound checks that we do, for instance, on tour, where we run through a lot of material that we don't normally record or play in the show, and we give you a little insight into that. Or sometimes we go to rehearsals when we're rehearsing for a tour, where we play some songs that aren't going to end up in the actual program. We thought we'd like to give you a little listen to some of those. The kind of thing we might choose from in the show would be old rock and roll records, favourites of mine, reggae music, some music that I picked up in Jamaica a long time ago when I was on holiday there, originally, first time I ever visited the island. So that's some classic vintage reggae. I always used to have someone send me from America the top 10 of the soul records, just so as I could see what was going on. And often there would be one or two that would really catch my fancy, and it became firm favourites of mine. We just go for it, we mix it and we match it, and so you're likely to hear anything on this show. We sometimes will have some world music, and it's fascinating. It shows that even though someone is living in the depths of Africa in a little dusty village somewhere, they still can come up with music that's every bit as exciting as modern technical stuff. Sometimes I cast my memory back to classical music that I like. I don't know much about classical music, but there are certain pieces, like most people, that I just like, and it's a question of, ooh, what's that one? I know that. I've heard that somewhere before. Well, we hope to bring you some of those selections on Ubu Jubu. Occasionally, we will delve into what we call Rude Corner. Rude is a studio that I've had for many, many years, and it's a little four-track studio that was built for me by a guy called Dick Swetnam, who built the original Olympic studio in Barnes, where the Beatles and the Rolling Stones used to record a lot of their original stuff. And he built me this little four-track studio, and I use it to make demos or to make experimental music and stuff. So occasionally we're going to delve into the archives of Rude Studio to bring you a little something from Rude Corner. Through the mists of time, we present a blast from the past.
Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 127 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. As you all know, we are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles videocast. I am being joined today by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler, And soon, new co-host of another show that we're going to be talking up here in a few minutes. It is Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Thomas, partner, and Ethan. Good afternoon.
Don't say my name. I haven't been introduced yet.
Well, we haven't introduced you yet, but we're going to kind of anyway. But it's good to be back again for another episode and diving into yet a new topic we have not touched upon yet, but we've been wanting to for a big while. And some folks say Ubu.
Yeah.
Others say Jubu.
There you go. And speaking of Jubu, we have Ethan Alexanian back with us again. He's, joined us a couple times already. We're happy to have him back. Obviously, everybody knows him as the host of the Popular Fans on the Run podcast.
Well, and, don't preface it by saying popular.
I would say it's pretty popular.
I mean, I have no gauge. I barely check the numbers anymore.
Fair enough.
I've tried to tune out almost all aspects of the show.
Okay. But anyways, well, maybe your guys' next show will be popular. Let's hope.
Let's hope.
But anyways, so let's talk about this new show you guys are doing. It's called Anything But the Beatles. And what's this all about?
Oh, it does what it says on the tin. The show's about anything but the Beatles.
Which we're kind of happily stumbled upon this idea of a show. We didn't, I think we were just having a chat.
Would you,
day.
To tell the story or should I?
You tell it. You'll tell it. But it was just kind of, it wasn't planned and it just evolved. And I'll turn it over to Ethan and he can explain how we got here.
Well, like all things in this, inbred Beatle world we find ourselves in, we were talking about a Beatles release. Andy had asked me, hey, did you get that new plastic Ono band box? And I'm like, no, I spent all my money on the Who sell out. I said, oh yeah, I did too. Sorry, Andy, this is the best I can do.
It's better than Joe Mayo's.
Yeah. My it impression is. Of you, Tom, and Joe Mayo is the same impression.
There should be no difference, right?
I find no distinction.
Continue.
But I digress. You and I were just talking about the Who sell out. And you were like, you know what? We should do a show about this. And I thought, you know, Andy, we should do a show about this.
Hmm.
So from there, we kind of just talked about that album. And then we started kicking around, potential ideas on format and how we should do it and basically cover other artists and albums.
Don't spill the beans on the other ones.
No,
yet.
No, we're not going to, but we
already leaked it to the Facebook page, what the first one was.
Yeah, but I don't mind doing that because that's tying into the release. But we figured, we're going to start out with 10 albums, do one show a month because Ethan's got his show to do. I do Two Legs With You. You've got, so we didn't want to kind of kill ourselves with saying, oh, we're going to do another podcast like every other week. No. This is just a kind of one-off offshoot thing where Ethan and I just talk about other albums of the pop music genre from the 60s and 70s, probably the 80s a little bit, that we both have common interests for. So, and the Who sell out, Ethan's a big Who fan, 60s Who fan. I'm a big 70s Who fan, but love the 60s Who. And we kind of kick this around, and with the box set coming out the same day as Plastic Ono Band, we thought, what a great idea to just kind of be our first show about that album and have it drop when the album comes out.
And the nice thing is there's all these people getting these signed postcards from Yoko and Sean for the Plastic Ono Band. What if we ended up with a signed postcard from Pete and Roger?
I'll take that. Partner Tom, what's your take on the Who? We never really talked about you. Are you a big Who fan or not really?
I like some of their stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the biggest fan of Who fan. I had all their stuff. Okay, I had all their albums with Keith Moon. I didn't really dig into the stuff post Keith Moon.
Not too many.
Right, yeah. But anyways, so I had them all. I listened to them all. I didn't get into them like I did with, the Beatles, others, some of my other favorite bands. But they've got a lot of gems. I love Substitutes. I love A Quick One. I mean, their performance of A Quick One on that Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus is just tops, in, you know, in my opinion. And you know, there's quite a few of their songs that I really enjoy, but you know, to have their albums, you know, I enjoy a bunch of Tommy. I never got into what's the other
rock opera? Quadrophenia.
Yeah, I never got into Quadrophenia that much. But again, you know, there's a lot of great songs on you know, on Quadrophenia. You know, Who's Next, I thought was sometimes...
Well, how could you not grow up in rock radio in the 70s and 80s and not hear half of Who's Next? You'd just be... Anybody should know those songs.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of fatigue, you know, on quite a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, I grew up on, you know,
a lot of it.
Classic rock radio, absolutely.
Yeah, but this one that Ethan and I are opening up our first show on is really... I mean, you should take a listen to it just for... Mm-hmm. From a listening aspect, because it's like it tackles like basically a pop art 1967 England pirate radio.
Right.
You know, it's not like an album. Like there's yeah. jingles. There's jingles mixed in
all throughout. There's mm-hmm. fake ads for so like different things.
It's a
like
real. It's basically
acne cream.
It's yeah. a you know it's a big it's a concept album. It's not on the level, although it probably is now, of a Tommy or a Who's Next or Quadrophenia. I certainly put it on that level now.
Oh, I would too.
Hands down. But it's obviously it's like from 67. So I think, you know, you probably should just listen to it just to hear it.
Yeah. I used to love the album cover. I loved all the fake things. I loved what was Daltrey in the bath of beans.
Yeah.
You know, I thought was pretty cool. You know, who had the big arm deodorant?
Yeah, Pete with the Odorono.
Yeah. Pete. Yeah. So, yeah, but that's going to be our show. And we chose that album to be our first one. And I really, you know, we haven't recorded it yet. We're going to do it this week coming up, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really happy that Ethan and I kind of put our heads together to come up with something that's not about the Beatles.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to it. And you said it's going to be once a month, right?
Once a month.
Excellent.
Yes. Yes, indeedy.
We right, don't want to burden the people too much with this show.
Right. Oh, of course not. But you already got, like you said, you already have the next 10 episodes already planned out, the albums
well,
that you want to do.
The albums is far, the albums anyway.
Right.
But yeah, but they'll be on, it's going to have its own Facebook page, so it's which it already has. It's going to have a YouTube right. channel. So, and Ethan's, right. and we're going to, Ethan's going to post it on his, we'll post it on ours and take right. turns, right. vice versa, and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
Yep.
Cool, cool. So when that comes out, we'll make sure that we all promote the hell out of that show and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Not me. I'm going to let it sink.
Yeah. You're just going to let it slide, right? Just let it play out.
Yeah.
Thank you, partner. Both of you, partners.
Does that mean I get to call you partner now?
Well, damn
thank
right.
you, partner.
So what you're saying is you're going to be the iceberg to Andy's Titanic. You're just going to let it sink, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to deny it.
Well, let's not let that happen.
I may be an annoying, you know, little punk-ass kid from Canada, but I'm not a liar. Tom's laughing because that's exclusively what he calls me.
A punk-ass kid from Canada?
A little punk Yeah, okay, we don't have to get into that. That's just for our own private conversations. Come on, man.
Did you also, side note, did you see there's a launch of another Beatles-related podcast now dedicated just to Ringo Starr?
Yes. I did see that. Ringo-rama.
Ringo-rama. And the host, I forgot his name, but he's only a year older than Hudson from I Know.
So. Okay. I don't know who it is. I just saw it pop up in one of my feeds, and I'm like, oh, another podcast.
I'm losing my edge here.
You became the old man very quickly there, youngster.
Now I know how Sam felt.
There you go. But in McCartney news, not much news, but we did get a handful, four to be exact, of these Instagram Live interviews that he did with a few of the people that either did remakes or remixes of the McCartney 3 Imagined.
Right. Well, that actually officially dropped on Friday too.
Yeah, well, I think there was, what, two on Friday and two on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So we got St. Vincent, we got EOB, which Ed O'Brien, I believe his name is, from Radiohead. So I watched those two. The St. Vincent one was okay. Really funny because Paul was mentioning the Peter Jackson film to her, and she was like, "Whoa!" You know, it's like, okay, how do you not know? But yeah, you know, you gotta figure not everybody is a huge Beatle fan out there, you know. So
I suppose not.
Yeah, I suppose not. But the and then on Saturday we got the Josh Homme. And the Phoebe Bridges, which Josh one, I think of all of them, I think I was a little disappointed with that one. Phoebe one was okay. Yeah, I mean, you didn't learn a lot, but you did learn that he got to see the very early rough draft of High in the Clouds sketched artwork. So it's like the movie, but just all sketches. So they're not actually, the artwork isn't actually completed. They're more sketches than right. anything right now. So that was cool because we had just talked about that last week on, right. on our future project show. So yeah.
So it was nice to see him revisit and say, okay, one of those projects is actually still going. So
yeah. But as you know, these animated works, they take a while to get going. So, but yeah, it's good to see that's moving forward. So, yeah. But we also know that he is also recording new music. He was working with producer Watts, I think his name was. And apparently he recorded a new song over the weekend. So, you know.
Probably on his iPhone.
Probably.
But he's go ahead.
He's in the studio in LA.
Oh,
you know, he laid down a new song. You know, so cool.
He's. I mean, I know he's like older, but he's looking really old in these videos now. Like the beard coming in, and like he's almost white.
You know, I oh, like the beard though.
I do too. I like it. It's just he's like. You're so used to seeing him on stage, like polished Paul. He just looks
so used to seeing him with the dyed hair too.
Though. Right.
Well, that thank God that era faded away.
I don't think Ringo's left that era.
No, yeah. But he looks. I mean, he's letting himself age, which is like he should have been doing it all along. Because I mean, the man was going gray in 1986 for Press to Play.
Right, but now he's, you know, in the level of like the Jimmy Page and the Robert Plant, how they've, you know, gone white and gray.
White, Brian May, same thing.
Like they look like the elder statesman of rock and roll.
But it seems like he doesn't give a crap now. So
yeah, and I like the longer hair look too. I've always liked him with
always
hair
better. Anyway. He didn't look good with shorter hair. If he cut it as short as he did,
Driving Rain.
Oh,
Rainer, yeah, it was not good.
That was terrible. That was just, I mean, that's like, that was even worse than like the Red Rose Speedway era mullet.
That mullet was awesome, though.
So, yeah, it was just cool to see these interviews. So there was a total of four of them, Tom?
Yeah, so far, yeah. So I don't know if he's going to continue with the rest of the people, like Beck or, you know, anybody else. But, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens because it's just more like a conversation, you know, hey, you know, thanks for doing this remix or you know, whatever you did to the song, you know, thanks for doing it. You know, what are you doing today? You know, a little bit about he had an interesting conversation with Phoebe about songwriting, which was pretty good. And, you know, so I look forward to seeing if there's any more of these.
I just wish they'd let them talk. Let them talk a little bit more. These hosts seem to talk a little bit too much more than him.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit, but unfortunately, you know, he did dish out the yesterday story, you know, St. Vincent.
What yesterday story? There's a story behind yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, so, you know what I mean? It's just sometimes you never know when this, you know, when these gifts that keep on giving are going to pop up.
Oh, my God. Hey,
Tom, Andy, did you know that Let It Be came to him in a dream? Mind-blowing.
So you know, the McCartney 3 hype machine is rolling on.
Right.
Even when there's no McCartney 3 left to push, they made a new McCartney 3 pretty much without McCartney.
Right. Although he's, you know, so I mean, no, did you listen to it streaming or Ethan? I know Tom bought a copy. Ethan, did you buy one?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I played a few seconds of each track Friday. Because I got it right around 9 p.m. because I'm 3 hours behind you guys. So, you know, I played a couple seconds from each track. You know, I'll be honest with you, Josh Hom doing Laboratory Lil, you know, a little slower, a little raw. Wasn't really expecting that, what he did. But, you know, some people might like it. I forgot the person's name who did When Winter Comes. I actually kind of enjoyed that. So looking forward to...
Was that Anderson .Paak?
Maybe. I have to go back and check. You know, because I haven't really memorized who did what on this.
And was this a vinyl CD release? I mean, I know it got a vinyl, all these colored...
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, this was just a digital drop. You know, still waiting. Yeah,
if you were sampling, like, seconds from each version, you'd be hovering over your turntable, like, okay, okay.
Right, exactly. So that's really it for the moment in the McCartney news world. Let's talk about a little bit about Ubu Jubu. Andy, why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about the history of Ubu Jubu.
Yeah, so Ubu Jubu was broadcast in the summer of 1995 on Westwood One, which was the same parent company that broadcast the Lost Lennon tapes in 1988. Okay. Westwood One is kind of the clearinghouse for all radio here, you know, that gets syndicated in the United States. So programs, you know, radio, sports shows, you know, I guess they produce these. And I remember hearing the Lost Lennon tapes when I was a young child. But this one, I remember listening in the summer of 95, reading about it in, I think, a Beatles monthly magazine or a fan thing. And my local affiliate station in New York carried it, which I believe was 92.3 K-Rock. And it was on Saturday nights and like that some ungodly late hour. But it was on for 15 or 16 weeks and listened pretty much regularly every week. And we're going to kick it around. I mean, there was a lot of shows, a lot of content. And but it was really the first pre-internet taking off. Unless you were shelling out for a lot of money for bootlegs, which at the time I really didn't have. I was a kid. It was the only time you heard the demos that he'd play. And I used to record them on the tape. So you'd hear Ebony and Ivory, Sweetest Little Show, and all these other songs. And like, it was the only time you heard these. So that was like, that was gold to hear that broadcast over the radio. I mean, it was unbelievable to actually hear a demo from stuff that you like, how could, you know, instead of shelling out money on bootlegs, which, you know, didn't have, was a way to do it. But a little later on, I guess we can get to this now. In 97, I got this when I bought, Tom's Got It All. This came with Flaming Pie if you bought it from Best Buy.
Right. Yeah, it's Best Buy exclusive for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool to have that too. But a syndicated show that, I think it's, I don't know if history has been kind of too kind to it. It's kind of been forgotten, although now if you have the Beatles channel on Sirius, you hear snippets of the show now.
Love when they play the snippets of Ubu Jubu.
Is it? Yeah.
They should play it like every Saturday night. They play like a new episode of Ubu Jubu.
Which is another criticism.
Well, not new episode.
No, but Ethan, you are so right with that because I think the Beatles channel is, it's okay.
It's stale.
It's so stale and it can be so much better. It's
this. I was in the car once, like a couple months ago, and they were doing this ranking of the top 75 early Beatles songs.
Right.
And it's like, I had to like check the math on my phone to make sure there actually were more than 75 early Beatles songs. It's like, wow, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. But I want to hear what the bottom 25 are.
But to your point, that here's a show in Ubu Jubu, okay, which was there was a lot of content, okay? It's 15 shows, 16 shows. And there's no reason why the Beatles Channel, to Ethan's point, on a Saturday night could just drop one of these and play the whole thing.
Well, you know, they've got the licensing clearance.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to get the license because he played, you know, other people's songs, you know, from the 50s and 60s and, you know, and on.
Right. You know. So they you know, you hear snippets of it. You hear all the, I think there was about 40 some odd different jingle variations of the Ubu Jubu single, jingle rather. So there's so many. So there's a ton of that. I mean, and they all eventually did come out on bootleg on Yellow Dog, which was a bootleg label, and there was
I confess, Your Honor, to prepare for this show, I have been listening to some of the Yellow Dog stuff.
Yeah, well, you have to.
There's just so much of it, though.
Well, that's right. Just it. And then those were like $30 a pop back in the day to buy those for one disc. So, yeah, it was
just to hear Paul say Ubu Jubu in just slightly different voices.
Yeah.
And then some random reggae track.
So were those bootlegs, were those the complete show or just Paul's stuff?
No, complete. Complete. Okay. They were the complete show with the other music too, the other artists and stuff. It was the whole show that was on there. So, you know, it was a lot of stuff to put out there.
Yeah.
Just on bootleg for sure.
Mm. Interesting. So, Ethan, do you recall the first time you heard about Ubu Jubu?
The first time I heard about Ubu Jubu was probably, you know, when I was younger, reading up on Flaming Pie and hearing that there was some sort of like disc released in conjunction with the release with this weird radio show that Paul did back in the 90s. And it's like, oh, ooh, that's cool. So I had heard the name Ubu Jubu. And then eventually the Sirius channel started playing bits of it.
Mm.
And then eventually I was listening to the Deluxe Flaming Pie and it was there. And then I got the bootlegs and they are there in droves.
But they're a little misleading, those the stuff on the CD singles. Okay. Right. So, you know, you got The Ecology, which was actually part of a show.
Right. Okay. This was the legit thing, right.
Right. However, when you get the CD singles, okay, not all of it is actually from the original Ubu Jubu series. Okay. So, like, let's say if you got The World Tonight, the first one, and you got part one, right, of Ubu Jubu on that. Okay, yeah, I Love This House was actually part of the original Ubu Jubu show.
Which it was, right.
However, Paul McCartney talks about Young Boy is not a part of the original Ubu Jubu show.
Not at all. You so know? That was, again, probably done post, you know, obviously right. Done probably around 1996 or so when all that music was done. But I think a lot of the fan community probably really came to be aware of Ubu Jubu because of these Flaming Pie singles.
Yes, true. Right.
Because if you didn't hear it, you know, when it was broadcast, where were you going to listen to it again back then?
Right, yeah. Yeah, because
$30 for a bootleg.
Right.
Yeah. I don't recall it being ever being
what you remember. I was going to say, Tom, you're older than Ethan and I. I mean, did you remember this?
Not at all. I don't remember hearing anything about Ubu Jubu being on at any station in Michigan. I mean, maybe it was. But if it was a Saturday night like it was for you, Andy, you know, I was working nights all the time. So I would have been working Saturday nights anyway. So I wouldn't have been able to hear it anyways.
Plus, as we talked about in other shows, like we're at different points in our life, we're into different genres of music, and maybe it wasn't on your radar. And I was just a 15-year-old Beatle geek and soaking it all up, so I didn't care.
I was already out in the working world, you know.
Right. Ethan, what were you doing?
You know, it's hard to remember. All I remember was that it was dark. Yeah. Very dark.
But it's it's a really interesting project in the McCartney canon. Guy had his own radio show for, you know, 3 months and did a whole lot of stuff on it, you know. So
I may say, you know, putting aside the Fireman albums, I think this is one of the most experimental things Paul's ever done.
Actually, I agree. I mean, and plus it's like the perfect vehicle for, you know, like the demos, the rehearsals, the sound checks, the, you know, tracks, unreleased tracks, you know, so it was really cool for that kind of thing. And, you know, and then obviously, you know, he plays the music of the stuff that he grew up listening to, you know, and he'll have an interview or, you know, an interview or two from time to time. And, you know, obviously we got one of the segments, Cook of the House, which was really
interesting one. Okay. What are we going to, we're going to hear a veggie recipe here, you know, with like the Cook of the House music playing in the background and Linda talking about some.
Starting with like the sizzling.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a recipe for, you know, avocado, broccoli, something.
With her weird, you know, transatlantic accent.
Right.
Like, well, here's an American classic, you know. chocolate chip cookies.
Right. Oh man. Yeah, it was, so they had all these little different segments, you know, like the they obviously like ton of reggae stuff was always on the show.
Ton of reggae, the Roots studio stuff. Matter of fact, one of the highlights, we'll talk about that, was out there in that reggae tunes and highlights segment. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, so it's pretty much 15 of these episodes were produced from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yep.
Right. And then Andy, did you catch it right from the beginning or did?
Probably, that was probably more summertime for me because it started in May and probably I wasn't up that late at night back then or with school and everything. I was definitely like I recognized it somewhere during the summer, you know, probably June or July. And I was like, every Saturday night, whatever that was, 9 or 10 o'clock, was like, I don't care what's going on, I'm listening to this show. I mean, I went Boy Scout camping and I brought a transistor radio with me and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll see you later. I got to go listen to this. Like, yeah. Cause I didn't want to miss it. I didn't want to miss the show. I remember hearing like all these, like, again, it was to have the ability to hear this stuff over like the radio was unheard of back then.
Yeah. So I do have like the complete set, but it's only the Paul stuff. I mean, it was the bootleg set, but just with the Paul stuff.
The other cool thing was like when he would play other artists' songs, you know, which was, that was probably one of the cooler things about the show too.
That was my favorite part. One of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Paul getting to play DJ.
You know,
play songs that he likes.
Right. And like widescreen radio.
Widescreen radio.
Like,
I was wondering who was going to be the first one to say widescreen radio.
There you go. It's widescreen. Yeah. So, but I remember, like, and it was so, like, just nice to hear somebody play something else. You know,
I just realized that there's actually a bit of a spiritual successor to some of the Ubu Jubu jingles. Do you guys listen to the Beatles station or the Beatles channel a lot?
Enough.
Listened to it at all.
Oh,
Andy,
yeah.
Do you know that jingle that comes on that Paul did for the thing?
Oh, yeah. Like, on the radio.
Audio.
Yeah, yes.
That, I feel like that's kind of, you know, spiritual successor to like some of the stuff he was doing on Ubu Jubu.
Could have been even done during the Ubu Jubu stuff.
Oh, no, his voice sounds way too old to be Ubu Jubu.
Is it older?
Yeah.
It's older? Okay.
And while I have the floor, I'll just say to everyone out there listening, you could play a drinking game along at home. Take a shot every time someone says the phrase Ubu Jubu.
Okay. One night.
I bring something to the table.
Okay. One night we'll have to...
Well, so yeah, so I wanted to say too, just about, so it looked like the bootleg versions that were out there on CD actually put more on there than what was actually on the show as well, too. So,
really?
Okay. So like there was other, they would throw other stuff on the Ubu Jubu sets that necessarily were not on the broadcast.
Well, okay. The set I have, the numbering is really confusing because there's 17 volumes and there was only like what, 15 shows?
Correct.
But weren't two of those like the first and last? Weren't they 2 hours long?
Yes.
Could be.
So like yeah, you have so like there's like there's so like there's some of these sets have like the With a Little Luck jam from 1980, right, which is on there. That wasn't on the broadcast, to my memory. Stuff like Seems Like Old Times. There's two versions of that. That was not on. That was not broadcast. So they peppered these releases, Yellow Dog, with extra bootleg material for whatever reason. Okay. So it wasn't just an exact you know reproduction of the show. They would tack on more stuff.
Okay, interesting. All right, so let's talk about some of the highlights. You know, right off the bat, and like I said, I mean, this was a really good vehicle to hear. You know, like Andy, we were talking about the soundtrack album that you know was supposedly in the works from Paul last week. You know, we got a lot of that stuff here from from Paul. You know, throughout his career, and then you get to some of the stuff that was never released before. So. One highlight right off the bat, you get Atlantic Ocean, which I'm sure was on bootlegs at that time before. But if you weren't a bootleg collector, this is probably the first time, you know, you heard that. And then the same with Oil Crisis as well.
Yep. What else? I heard today when I was skimming through it, like the parts where he plays other stuff, other people, like we heard, it was actually a bootleg, I guess, from the London Town Sessions called A Fairy Tale. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah.
That's just him with his kids messing around on the boat from London Town. And that was on the show. I remember hearing that. I was like, this isn't just like an outtake. This is like legit, like home demo stuff.
Right.
You know, and it's just nonsense stuff, but it's cool that he chose to include that on a show, which I thought was pretty cool.
And then he plays Once in a Lifetime from Talking Heads on that first show as well.
Yes.
He plays That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly. He plays Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. And he does this cool thing where he plays I Want to Be Your Man by the Stones. And then intersperses it with him talking about, well, we saw them. Yeah, we were trying to get a cab in London and we saw them in another one and blah, 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 blah. Story of how the song. And then it goes into a sound check of him and his band doing I Want to Be Your Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did. That was another thing with the show, too. Like he'd play you a 30 seconds of a demo and then we kind of fade into the finished track. Like he did that with Lovers That Never Were. You hear the first 40 seconds of the him and the great Costello demo, and then it kind of just goes into the finished version.
He did that also in this. I don't know if it was like episode 1, but with like Spies Like Us.
Yes.
And actually the most interesting episode 1, kind of like the mending or the, you know, transition with the two versions, he kept switching back and forth between his cover of Lucille and Little Richard's original. Mm. So there'd be like, you know, 20 seconds of one, then it goes back to the other, then so on and so forth.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be the first time he would do that. Cause he also did kind of like that with the New Moon Over Jamaica too, with you know, his version. And then, you know, the version with Johnny Cash as well.
He also used it as a vehicle to get a lot of that, film score music, like all the music from Downey's Law and all that stuff, that all came out on this. Which you know, I'm thinking, I haven't even seen that film, but we know the music, Act One Justice and all that stuff. It's all out there,
right? Yeah, show two. You know, again, I think that now this is just an hour long episode. You know, you just talked about the Spies Like Us demo version. You get, you know, the Joker, Steve Miller Band. So he's playing, you know, still playing other people's music, you know, sound checks. You get a Let 'Em In, a reggae version by Shinehead, which I need to check that out.
Right. And I like it's, you know, you just go through the whole thing, you know, and all these different shows here, which is nicely broken down. Speaking of The Who, Ethan, he goes, here's one of my favorite songs by The Who, an early one, Happy
Jack. He plays Happy Jack. And then it has, like, after that, a little thing with Pete Townsend.
A little, like, a PSA about starving children or something. Yeah.
And then also in that show, he played Virginia Plain by Roxy Music.
Mm.
That's right.
Right. And then this is Rock Online, which is, I know Ringo did that on one of his past albums. I think show three is the first appearance of the Cook of the House.
The Cook of the House. So, what was on the menu that day?
That one I don't recall, but but there is one where it's show four, the next one, where she does a pasta German style, which actually
see this is right up here. You must love this because you're like the cook of the house over there in Arizona. So
yeah, exactly. So I mean this one that we you know for show four, this German pasta German style is actually really good because it's you know mushrooms, it's butter, it's pasta, breadcrumbs, and it's really good. Garlic.
How many of these recipes from Linda's Cook of the House have you made, Tom?
And what time is dinner?
Well, you'll have to come over to find out, Ethan. So
wait for the border to reopen.
Yeah, as soon as they open that border.
I'm coming. Summertime.
All right. Okay, get your asses over here.
Win. Record shopping. Let's go.
Yes. That too.
Yeah, but it looks. Yeah, I forgot. Like I, you know, we're just using the Wikipedia as a guide of all the breakdown of the shows. But it seemed at the time like of a lot longer show. Like it's like 15 tracks, but listening to it live, you don't think of it like you don't think of it that way because it probably, as my memory kind of can recall, I think it was like a 2-hour thing. You know, would come on at like at 9 o'clock at night and go to 11 or 10 to 12. Okay. It wasn't just like, here's the tracks. It was because there was commercial breaks, obviously, with it in all this stuff, too. So, you know, we're looking at like the bootlegs or a list and it's like 15. But this was like it was like a 2-hour thing. So you were just you were forced to listen to the whole thing.
OK, cool. Yeah. See, these are things I wouldn't have known. You know, show four, Stop. You don't know where she came from. I mean, if you didn't hear the bootleg, you wouldn't have heard that until probably, you know, until the Tug of War box came out, you know?
Right, right.
So,
You know,
like, give me some loving, the Spencer Davis Group, you know, which was cool.
What's that? Yay or nay, Ethan?
Is that even a question, partner?
I just asked it, so I think it is.
Give me some love and say yay.
Okay. Well, you never know. Some people, you might pull the old, that's a fatigue factor thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the Spencer Davis Group.
Okay, fair enough.
Right.
I can't get sick of Steve Winwood.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I like this particular one because I like the New Moon Over Jamaica stuff. I like the
you don't like reggae stuff though.
No, he only likes Kiss.
But that's the demo. The demo was reggae, but the finished product that's on the Johnny Cash album, Wells and I forgot the name of the album now, but it's more of a traditional country song.
Okay.
The finished product. So, but yes, the demo is more of a reggae track, traditional reggae track. Yes.
Right.
I'd like to bring it to Jerome soundtrack from Minneapolis. That's pretty cool. Even if you've heard some of this stuff before, I mean, there seems like there's like a gem or two on each one.
Easily.
Like you know, I like the Professor Longhair's thing that does jam that's on show four as well.
Also key to remember too is that this show is very this show that he did was very, I think, off the ground heavy because it was coming off the back of that tour and that album. So a lot of that music and a lot of those sound checks are all coming from that period of touring.
Which is weird that I think a lot of people associate it so heavy with Flaming Pie when when the show is, you know,
really running more off of the steam. Theme of off. That's a great point. It's really kind of coming off the heels of the off the ground stuff, not really so much Flaming Pie.
Except for that, those, you know, add-ons that they, you know, slapped on the scene.
Right, so it's almost like, but which then, to Tom's point earlier, these, the Ubu Jubus here are like Frankenstein Ubu Jubus. They're kind of, they're kind of what we heard here, but very Frankenstein and like new stuff thrown on, you know? So like Love Mix, it makes its appearance on one of these, but, you know, it's pulled from there. It's so that, you know, this is like Ubu Jubu, like, this isn't the real Ubu Jubu. I don't consider it.
Yeah, so show five then was actually the ecology.
Ecology,
yes. Which, you know, it sucks because once you it's not tracked, so once you play it in, you can't skip anything.
No,
you know, which sucks because the last thing on here, We All Stand Together, is the demo, which is excellent because you just hear all Paul's, you know, all these crazy voices, you know, and him doing all the parts.
You know, which got a commercial release in 1997, decades before we actually got it in 2015. You know,
I just have to say, I have such an inferiority complex not being able to hold up that CD. I should have just printed out the cover. And, yeah. Because you guys, like, ecology, Ubu Jubu.
Look at this, $1 off regularly priced.
Yes.
You see that? Wow.
No, yes, I can't see it because you're not holding it up.
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. Let me take it out.
$1 off, Ethan.
Yeah.
Because that back when all of his stuff was in print and not out of print.
Yeah. When you can actually... Quantities and title selection are vary by store. Gee, you think?
Right. We also should mention Eddie Puhmer because he was the co-producer of the show. You know, so it's got a nice little description about the show, inside.
Was that another eBay purchase, you maniac?
This is the actual Best Buy, release.
I know, but how did you get it? Cause I know you didn't buy it in 97.
I got it. I used the CD store.
Okay. I just thought it was another eBay thing.
See, was this the start of Paul's long and fruitful relationship with Best Buy?
Could have been.
Yep. Because, you know, all those years ago, they had those, whenever an archive thing would come out, they would put out a 45 that you could mail in for.
Right.
Which does that still exist though, Ethan, or no?
I don't know. But wasn't there also like a Best Buy, like driving rain thing?
Well, you got the, you can, the archive releases, I know, I think it was the Pug of War and Types of Peace, you can...
it was like a shirt or something, right? Was it a shirt or a bag?
Yeah, and then you can send in for a free 45.
Right.
For two of the archive releases.
Yeah, like I think with Flowers, gave
my
you
Brave Face.
My Brave Face 45.
Yeah, that was from Best Buy, yep, exactly, yeah.
So... Yeah, but it's best, yeah, the Paul McCartney Association, you know, going back to 97. But We All Stand Together was clearly a highlight for back then to come out. Show six, that's when he played Deacon Blues, which I'm a big Steely Dan fan. So
he plays Summertime Blues and he plays Deacon Blues.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the real highlight for me on this one is during the Reggae Tunes and Highlights, that's where he plays Fishy Matters Underwater.
Right.
We all know became Frank Sinatra's Party.
Correct. Which goes back to the 70s. So the four kind of areas of the show was the Reggae, Root Studio, Linda's Cook of the House, and what was the last one?
Well, then you got rehearsals.
Right, or sound checks.
I just want to say, before I forget about the Cook of the House, I love the little jingle that plays right before where Paul, you know, is like, I'm now over to Linda McCartney booking the house. That little, like, I love it.
There's a lot of great sound effects throughout those shows, too.
There is. And I mean, I'm, you know, you could, I mean, you wonder if any of this stuff is copyrighted. Is it copyrighted? It's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, Andy, when you brought that transistor ramp to Katie, or transistor radio to camp, not transistor Katie to ramp. You're missing out because there's so much stereo stuff going on.
I'm missing the wide screen, man.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's just a screen.
I didn't give a crap. I wanted the radio to hear the demos and the unreleased stuff. I didn't give a
How
crap.
How can you hear the footsteps going from one ear to the other?
Yeah. Then on one of them, he played like that little bit of the Christmas record.
Yeah, episode 7.
Yeah, if I ever never see another banjo, he's like, he goes, don't ask me what this is about, but it's some banjo thing. And you hear the last bit of the Christmas record, which was, I liked his description of those. Well, we used to make fan club records and it was like, hi, I'm Paul. Hi, I'm George. Hi, I'm John. And then they obviously, as the 60s progressed, got more weirder and weirder, which was that one was from, I think that was from the 66 record, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you get on, you know, on that show, you also get Daytime, Nighttime Suffering, which is, you know, great B-side.
Yeah, but he didn't speak on it, though. It just played. He didn't talk about it, you know. That's what you like to hear, you know, do that. Oh, there's the banjo. Oh, you heard Love in the Open Air from The Family Way, which Ethan's got that. Was that, you've got that pressing, right? Don't you have an original pressing, right? Or is it the Vera Band? You do.
No, I have the original.
That's right.
Family Way. Not a British Family Way. I want a British Family
Way. But that's like, again, like I would have never heard Love in the Open Air. And it's a nice little typical George Martin, Paul McCartney thing. You have it, Tom, or no? Soundtrack?
Yeah. I got the Record Store Day release one.
With the green cover, right?
Yeah. And that was actually my first Record Store Day I ventured into.
Okay. Cool. What else? That would show 7. After You've Gone, Rock Around the Clock. Oh yeah,
San Francisco Blue.
Yep, Cracking Up. Yeah, that was, again, that was on the soundtrack forever. Mm-hmm. Show 8, Keep Undercover.
Yeah. Now, this Jet Rehearsal, was that during the live, or was that the rehearsal for the One Hand Clapping?
I believe is a world, new, you know, Paul's Live in the New World Tour rehearsal.
Okay.
I'm almost positive,
Don't Break the Promise, which ended up on the Flaming Pie box set.
Got a little Johnny B. Good.
Yep.
Peacocks, which again is still
7.5 minutes of its glory too.
Yeah.
and one of the things I forgot about until I listened to this again to get ready for the show. Paul and the Off the Ground Band doing Three Cool Cats in a rehearsal, that was so good to hear that again.
That was awesome.
You know, didn't have the same of vocal effects that George was doing in the anthology version, you know, like all the different, you know, because there's a lot of real vocal trickery in that song, you know.
I want
that little chick, save that one lick from me. Yeah, there was none of that, but, you know, just a goofy song, but it was cool to hear the rehearsal version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then there was that super, like a real, really, really fast version of Wind Arc Open Sea.
Oh, for rehearsal. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That I didn't like because Wind Arc Open Sea is good on its own.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Show 9.
Show 9 almost takes the cake because.
Why?
Because it's got 007 from Desmond Dekker in there.
Yeah,
I love me some Desmond Dekker.
Gotcha. You got a Cut Across Shorty, which is I'm a fan of that song for rehearsal. You get a Rough Ride with Trevor Horn.
He of Yes fame and Buggles fame.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
Got some Riders on the Storm.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, these all kind of, they've all followed a very similar format, you know, covers, unreleased stuff. And again, us major McCartney fans, I mean, we like all of it. We're listening to this show to hear the bootlegs, you know, the stuff of his stuff that we not would have heard anywhere else. And that's, right. I think that's where most of us were listening to it anyway. Show 10, Motor of Love, where you hear the Motor of Love demo and Tom's favorite song of all time into the full blown production that closes Flowers in the Dirt.
No, but I'll tell you what though, if I was listening to it when it was first being aired, and if I heard him play Herbie Hancock's Rocket, I probably would have had one of those mind blowing experiences, because that was like one of my favorite videos from the early 80s. I don't know if you guys remember that one, but it was just like like all electronic type, and the video was really cool. So if you're not familiar with it, check out Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
I haven't really seen the video, but I love the song.
Yeah.
This is
a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is the one we heard your school. And that's the sticking point that I still remember all these years later, hearing that, and I'm like, God, that song needs to go on more. It just stops.
So it's just like a piano demo from the Off the Ground Sessions.
I remember laying in my bed hearing, "We're gonna talk it out." I'm like, "Oh, what song is this?" Right. And then there's a verse, a little bit of a chorus, and a verse, and it just stops. I'm like, "Oh, that is a great song."
Yeah, I kind of wish that's going to be, you know, if we do get like an Off the Ground Archive release, I mean, that would be a great addition.
Oh, man. Ethan's not feeling your school.
But I do like that he added Like a Hurricane from the Neil Young Unplugged album.
Yeah. Cool.
Very cool. Show 11, where we get Yesterday by Boys to Men.
Oh God, I remember that.
What, you not rocking with Boys to Men, Andy?
No, actually, I do like it now. I didn't like it back then.
I mean, it looks like there's a lot of Yesterday on this album. I mean, on this episode.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to grab something in relation to the next episode, so I don't feel like, you know, I have nothing to hold.
Okay.
I mean, you got Yesterday by Duane Eddy, you got Yesterday parody, you got Yesterday from Paul is Live, you got Paul and George Martin about Yesterday, you know, so there's a lot of Yesterday here on episode 11, show 11.
There's a lot of, you know, interesting parodies throughout this show of his own songs.
True, but there's one we don't need to hear again. show 12, that's why the show 12 we did Another Day, which you heard that, the tour rehearsal of that, which was cool.
Well, right. Show 12, that Paul was talking about, Viv Stanchel,
yes,
from the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band,
yes,
and he played almost in its full, maybe even its full, the intro and the outro from the album Gorilla. Which I was just like, it's the Bonzos.
No, they weren't on Apple, were they?
No, they were on Liberty, but they were in the Magic friends. Mystery Tour.
Yeah, they were friends.
Right. You know, that's where
Paul produced their song "I'm the Urban Spaceman."
That's right. Their highest charted song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Although it was under a pseudonym, Apollo C. Vermouth.
Correct. Praying Mantis, Mambo Boy, Hari's got a song by Heart in there. What about Love?
Yeah, what about Love?
Oh, this is the one where he played Beautiful Boy,
Beautiful Boy.
Yeah, which was cool. But that's there's video of him talking about that even from 82.
Oh, Desert Island Classics, he's on there talking about that as well.
Which is the closest you're going to see him show real emotion about that. Watch that video of him with the Desert Island Discs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I know. You know, like he plays Here Today Now, you know, and like he has whatever emotion, whatever. Watch that video from Desert Island Dicks 82. You can really see it. It's written on his face then. That's the then everybody's like, oh, this is how he feels. No, watch the Desert Island Dicks video from 82 because it's playing and he's like singing the song and he actually turns away from the camera when the song's being played. That tells
was
you that,
I've seen the video. Was that from Desert Island Discs?
Yeah, it was a BBC special.
Okay.
From circa 1982. Show 13. Swedish Little Show. Cool. Mr. Froggy Went A-Courtin'. God, these rehearsals.
He plays some Donovan.
Yep.
Sonny Gooch Street.
Yep. Oh, we got a little UB40 in this one.
Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. Very good.
Right.
You know, Everly Brothers on there, which is
and that's not the same one as the Jerry and the Pacemakers one. Everybody, there's two Don't Let the Sun Catch You Cryings. Mm. And he's singing the other one.
Okay.
And he closes that one with, well, yeah, he used The Entertainer to close that episode. Yeah, I remember listening to that.
Oh,
yeah.
The Billy Joel song then.
No, the one from 74.
I just realized I forgot something from episode 10 that I really liked. It was at the very start of the show. It was like the sound of someone knocking at the door and the first few notes of Let Him In. And then the sound of a door opening. It's like, yeah, come on right in. And then it goes, and then it starts with the whole like, ooh-boo, choo-doo.
That theme is like so, I mean, when McCartney plays like lead guitar, you know it's McCartney playing lead guitar. Like there's a distinct quality to his licks on guitar playing. You just know it. You know, like, okay, that's not Gilmore. That's just McCartney doing McCartney stuff. And right. The Ubu Jubu theme with their that's just McCartney.
Why can't he just do that during his shows instead of like the DJ guy playing the songs ahead? Why can't they just play like Ubu Jubu?
Oh, you mean like instead like the pre-show music you're talking about?
Just play an episode of Ubu Jubu or two.
Yeah, although I love all that pre-show music mashup stuff. I like the Twin Freak stuff.
Or they can just do a continuous loop of Ubu Jubu, you know.
Yeah, just the theme minutes. Music.
Yeah, while you're patiently waiting, you know, 45 minutes after.
Yeah, as Paul shows up late and you're in an outdoor arena and it's this squeltering. And I'm not talking from experience or venting or anything. But imagine if all you heard was like, Oopoo, Chopoo, Oopoo, Chopoo. And then the video screen was, you know, playing its thing.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
I was saying, you see the first 5 minutes, you see people getting into it. About 45 minutes later, you start people starting to hang themselves from the
I don't know. I think listening to Ubu Jubu for I don't know, an hour is a lot better than clowns on balls, like in a Cirque du Soleil type thing, which is what there was in 2002 in New York. Like, it was like, what the hell am I watching here for this show to start?
Not a fan of Cirque du Soleil?
The Beatles show I am, because I saw it in Vegas.
I have to defend Cirque du Soleil, because I'm Canadian and they're Canadian.
No, and I'm all about the Beatles, but before McCartney concert, I'm
Vive
like,
le Québec libre.
What am I watching here? I'm watching like these clowns come out of boxes on balls and crap. Where is McCartney? Come on, let's go, let's go.
Maybe he was one of those clowns. You don't know.
Maybe. Maybe.
You have no way of proving this.
Zero. But... yeah, no, that would be cool to hear that stuff. Let's see, show. What are we up to? 13 now? 14?
14.
Goldfinger reggae. The freaking reggae section is my god.
This one compared to parodies.
Yeah. Love Awake. Little Love
Sitting
Awake.
On the Dock of the Bay. Otis Redding. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring it on home to me, I'm imagining that was that would be what the Sam Cooke.
Yeah, for sure. This one put it there to parody. Yeah, because he did a lot of parodies as well. And he just all the parodies, he like plays the songs fast. Those are the parodies. Yeah. He just plays them super fast.
Okay. And then he has a jingle with Phil Collins.
Phil.
Yes.
I have to listen to that one again. To show 14. Where'd this go?
That was show 14.
15.
Yeah, not really a lot of any surprises, really, on show 14 to get excited about, really.
No. 15's where you started having some gems in there, though. Love Mix. I Love This House, Ode to a Koala Bear, You Don't Know Where She Came From, the I Want to Be Your Man thing that Ethan talked about.
Well, but the thing is with those, it's like those were spread out through the whole show. It's like, it seems like episode 15 was just kind of like a best hit.
Right. But this, but this was the one I remember. Yeah. Because you hear the poll talking about Pet Sounds and you hear Brian Wilson on there talking about it and promoting Brian Wilson's album at that time, which was a collaboration he did with Van Dyke Parks called Orange Crate Art, which is a weird album. Because Brian Wilson's voice is like shot and he's doing falsetto, but it's funny, like they were using that. I remember that was in 95 and they were, I guess, a little helping, you know, helping each other out with promotion there. Because by playing the Orange Crate Art song on that show. Yeah, and then you got the stuff with Elvis Costello.
Right.
Let's see.
Some sound check stuff with Come On People. we can work it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot of, you know, again, will we ever get a sanctioned release of all the Ubu Jubu stuff? Probably not.
I don't think we can.
Because of all the other, all the other music that's in it. But even just, maybe just the Paul stuff would be cool.
Well, that's what I was hoping for the Flaming Pie set, that there would be, you know, all the Ubu Jubu stuff. Wouldn't that make a great Record Store Day thing, though? You know, if they had like a double LP of like all of the stuff exclusive to Ubu Jubu.
Yeah.
That would be that's the ideal of what Record Store Day is. Limited edition. That would be a
big deal. Yeah, like stuff like I Love This House, Peacocks, Atlantic Ocean.
All the McCartney.
An entire side of just the jingles.
Yeah, yes. That would be cool too. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Just strip it back to like just all McCartney content, the demos, the jingles, segments, you know, the segments that could come out, the Cook of the House, the, you know, Linda's stuff, any of his stuff, anything, you know, would be cool. But
yeah, because like you said, Andy, you can't really necessarily consider the stuff that was on the CD singles like actual Ubu Jubu stuff. I mean, those are like Frankenstein stuff, like you said. I mean, yeah, they've got a song, they'll have one song that was featured. And then the opening Ubu Jubu song, but that other than that, I mean, that's
no. Really, and again, all this at the very least, the Beatles people on Sirius could play more of this show.
They don't have to get any additional licensing.
No,
it's Sirius XM.
Right,
they can play whatever they want.
Right, so
they've got the license.
Right.
And so actually, now that I think about it, we missed the most important thing in this entire show. I don't remember what episode it was. But the weird Beatle covers that Paul was talking about, where he played the Shatner Lucy in the Sky with Diamond, and the version of, I think it was We Can Work It Out by the Beatle Barkers, which is just like a Beatle instrumental record, but all the vocals are replaced with a sampler with dog barks. That's what Record Store Day was made for.
These kind of niche, kind of weird one-off things, right? Just get
the
it out.
The Beatle Barkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Get it at your local Tower Records.
Oh, we love Tower. Loved Tower. This was nice revisiting Ubu Jubu because it's just, there's so much to go through, right? Talk about doing this show for a while and it's like, Tom's got the version, which is just the McCartney stuff, which actually I wouldn't mind going through that one just to hear the McCartney stuff.
Right.
Ethan and I have the full on hearing all the other stuff. And when you get all this stuff, it's a bit like binge watching, right? Or binge listening.
Yeah.
When you listen to all this stuff at one time, it's kind of hard to take it all in and kind of, because it's so much. But when you listen to it once a week, like it was like when you watch a TV show once a week, that's it. And you have to watch it again. It kind of sinks in a little bit more. Here I am 25 years later and I remember certain aspects of the show because I listened to it live. You know, I don't know if I hadn't discovered it until now, just listening to all 17 discs in my iTunes, if it would have the same effect.
If I was listening, I would have been hook, line and sinkered with this show. If I was listening to it back in 95, because, you know, like you said, I mean, with those rehearsals, with those unreleased tracks, you know, that I would never have heard before. You know, the demos and stuff like that. Oh, I would have been nuts about this show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you would. I mean, and I probably still have a cassette laying around of some shows of it, but, you know, it's, again, I wish the serious people would play it on the Beatles channel more because, you know.
Or at least play one in its entirety.
Yeah, because, again, this is a little bit of a side commentary, but I think the Beatles channel is like, it's like 80-20 Beatles to solo, and it's just, it's ridiculous how they don't play much more solo music on that station. Do you agree, Ethan?
I mean, it is called the Beatles channel.
And all four of those guys are Beatles, which means the music gets played.
Yeah, but do you really want equal representation for, like, Ringo Starr's solo stuff?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I listen to it all, but I want it on there.
Why?
I don't need to hear, like, I'm telling you without fail, five times a week I put that station on, and I want you, She's So Heavy comes on all the time.
Well, I think they should at least play like the BBC stuff more, the anthology, which they do play. They just don't play it enough.
No, I swear it's probably just some algorithm and they're like, oh, these are the ones we're playing. It's stupid.
Yeah. People seem to tune in when we play Hey Jude. Play this. But twice the hour,
because they do all day. Tom, they do. There's this segment on the Beatles station, okay, and it's called the Dark Horse Hour, yeah. Hosted by this lady called Laura Cantrell, and they play George stuff for an hour. Okay. I don't know when it falls in, like on the scheduling. So like they do solo stuff. So you can't tell me that Ubu Jubu couldn't be worked into that show somehow when they do George stuff.
Hell, I think now they even have like a show that just plays Apple artists.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, do they? I'm not sure.
I heard it. No, I heard it. I heard it a few weeks ago.
Does Tom Frangione host that?
Yes.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, though, I think I would just rather have a solo Beatles station.
Myself. Oh, really? Than try to do both.
Yeah, then try to do both. Yeah,
I don't think there'd be a market for that, though.
I disagree with that.
Well, there's like a Bob Marley channel. Like, exactly. Do you think there'd be a market for like a separate Wailers channel?
You can't tell me that a Marley channel would be more popular than a solo Beatles channel.
I could probably tell you it would.
I got to defend my original co-host here. I think the solo Beatles channel would easily outdraw a Marley channel.
It wouldn't outdraw that Jimmy Buffett channel.
But... No, those parrot heads like that. They like their chill and their margaritas.
I mean, I'd even go to say that it might even do better than a Dylan channel.
Well, he's had Theme Time Radio Hour, which was on, but it wasn't a dedicated channel.
Right.
We've completely gone off topic.
Well, no, we're just talking about how the Ubu Jubu could be brought to more people's consciousness.
Played Ubu Jubu on all the other channels too, at various points, like all the talk radio and sports stuff. And now a selection from Paul McCartney's radio series, Ubu Jubu, with that same British announcer that they've had since 2017.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I wanted to hear how the Knicks did. And it's like, Ubu Jubu, Ubu Jubu.
I don't know. I mean, all in all, are you guys completely happy with the way the show turned out? Or would you have expected more, like, unreleased stuff or... You know what I mean?
I was perfectly fine with it. I was
very happy.
I am happy.
I wasn't around for the show.
It was like trying to capture lightning in a bottle because you didn't know. Like, we look at this list and we know what it was. You're listening to these shows once a week in 1995. You don't know that coming up you're going to hear like a demo of Love Awake or something else like that. You know, so it was the anticipation and the waiting every week to figure out what gem you're going to hear, because you knew you were going to hear one. You just didn't know what it was going to be.
Right.
That was the excitement that I had listening to it back then. Like, oh, last week I heard the demo for We All Stand Together. You know, my mind was blown. What am I going to hear next week? And as we went through all the shows, some were better than others. Like that whole, the one where a lot of yesterdays were, that wasn't right. great. But some, there were shows that were better than others. And clearly I was fine with it. It served its purpose.
Yeah. I think this is one of the better things or more creative things that he may have done in his career. I mean, it would've been really cool if he would like revisit this kind of thing, you know, excuse me, maybe like 5 years later or something like that, you know, go back to it and do like it did like another 15 shows, you know what I'm saying? Or to revisit it every 10 years or something like that.
Maybe, you know, or maybe the future is if he's not, you know, giving the touring is an unknown for him. Maybe he does kind of repurpose himself and say, okay, I'm going to do a radio show now and
right.
kind of look back, you know, the twilight of my years, I'm going to do a radio show. And
if you do like one of those shows like Tom Petty did.
Yes. Mm. Good point. Yes, great point, Ethan.
Mm. Okay.
Bringing it back to Sirius XM.
That's it. Bringing it back. So
getting the band back together. Because I mean, something like this, I can imagine it's really easy for him to, you know, to put together. Not much effort, you know what I mean? All this stuff's at his disposal.
Yeah, all he had to do was just go like this. People do this.
Listening back to this, though, I kind of also kind of connecting it to the Who sell out, I hear a huge influence of pirate radio in this.
Yes!
With all the skits and...
yes!
Specifically even the late Kenny Everett, one of the famous British DJs.
Yep.
He was like the pioneer of this sort of like manic, chaotic, you know, jingle radio thing.
Right.
Oh. Okay.
So it does tie into what Ethan and I were talking about with us. So the whole pirate radio aspect of this is kind of, the parallels are interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Cool. Excellent. All right. Anybody want to add anything else before we end
this? I've got two words to add on. Ubu, Chubu.
Widescreen radio.
Widescreen radio.
Very, no, good topic, partner. And Ethan, thanks for coming on.
Thank Ethan, you for having me.
About, Fans on the Run. You're back now, right? The break is over.
I'm back from my bed in for nothing. although by the time this goes out, the show will no longer be weekly. I know. Dramatic effect. Let everyone cry. No, we're going to bi-weekly, you know, once every 2 weeks.
What do you mean we?
I said bi-weekly.
No, you said we're going to...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't know why I refer to Fans on the Run as we, because it's just me. Thank you for catching me. I do that all the time, and I really need to stop it.
I'm messing with you.
But we are doing something else, but that's later.
We are doing about something else.
Talk about yours.
Fans on the Run.
Yes.
If you've already listened to the show we did on New, this is not going to sound very foreign. It's a show I host by, for, and about Beatles fans. You know, I bring someone on and we go through their long and winding road of Beatle fandom. We talk about what got them into the Beatles, what the Beatles mean to them. I ask them predictably what their favorite Beatles song is and then get mad at them if they say the wrong answer. And that's basically the show. And you can find us pretty much everywhere you can find Two Legs.
Are you still having an easy time getting people to be on your show?
Yes. Although I need to make a new list of people. Like, I started last year with a list of people who I wanted to have on. I've almost gotten to the bottom of that list. And so now I need to make a new one. Because I'm worried I'm going to run out of people.
There's plenty. But I enjoy. I love the show. I you know, I try to listen to it as much as I can. I love the fact that you know, it's you got the guys and the girls on there. You know, it's a you know, nice touch to not just be, you know, a sausage factory. You know, you got
I don't. There's fans come in all sorts of shapes, sizes, genders, whatever's. You know, I got to represent them all, or most of them.
That's right. And I love that about the show. Absolutely.
Well,
and
thank you.
Can you give us some spoilers for people you got coming up on the show?
I can give one.
Okay.
Because I only have two episodes as of right now recorded ahead of me, which is unusual for me. But I may have certain... Actually, his interview will already be out by the time this is up. I had the host of I Know, Hudson Ranion.
Okay. Very cool.
And, okay, fine, I'll give another one. I have John Lyons, the author of Joy and Fear, the Beatles, Chicago in the 60s, on the week after this.
Right. And all three of us have been on Hudson's I Know show, so he's a... check that show out if you want to. It's
yeah, but we're
show.
Talking about me now, Tom. I'm still getting used to not being the. I'm still not used to not being the hot new thing.
That's right.
I'm having an identity crisis.
You know, yeah, only 20 more Beatles shows have popped up since you premiered last year.
No, and they're only getting younger.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a horrible influence. You know, what is it you say, Tom? Children should neither be seen nor heard.
Or heard.
No, children are to be seen, not heard, yes.
As the old adage goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got that one growing.
So,
yeah, no, listen to me. Anyways, but great. Well, we look forward to your future shows. We look forward to seeing Ethan and Andy in action on the new show called Anything But the Beatles coming up soon. So when do you expect that the first show to drop?
I would like to defer this answer to Andy because I'm not sure.
I would like it to drop. Well, this would already, by the time this goes out, it should be out. Let's just put it this way.
The set comes out on the 23rd.
Right. And this episode is airing on the 24th. So our episode should be up and live already.
Okay.
So go check it out. What's for tea, daughter?
What's for tea, daughter?
You can do it much better than me. Yeah.
Yeah. Dynamic tension turns you into
a beast of a man.
See, these are the jingles things. You got to check the album out, Tom. You got to do
it. And whistle that does that because
yes.
You got that
deep
voice for
Boris the Spider. Yes. Hold your group together.
Throughout the sound strings.
Yeah. So that's we're gonna talk about all that. Yeah, but that'll be up.
This has been just a snippet of the premiere episode.
Is just, you know, an hour of this. Andy and I doing our best to imitate the jingles from the album.
Oh,
with very little talk about the actual album itself.
I'm fine with that. We'll go through every one of them.
We'll go through all the jingles in detail.
We can.
If we did that today and went through every single Ubu Jubu jingle in detail.
Oh, Christ, we'd be still here till next Christmas.
Exactly.
Andy, what do you got going on in your world, my friend?
Not that much. Managing the Two Legs page and all of our websites and associated stuff like that, which I just updated our website today. It's, you know, I'm not the most web savvy person. Ethan's helped us out quite a bit on that, but our website's been updated with all of our most recent shows on there now, video and audio version, which is on there, twolegspodcast.com.
And before I forget, do you do these videos where you rank things? Oh, and man, those graphics you have—they're spiffy.
We're getting to that.
I don't know.
This is the part where the kids should be seen and not heard.
But yeah, I'm managing all that stuff, and handling the two leg stuff, and monitoring it. And thank you, everybody, for the support on there. So,
yeah, absolutely. And speaking of support, we want to give a nice thank you to
Hudson Granny.
Yes. Ethan Alexanian for all these wonderful thumbnails that he does for us for our Ranking the Track shows on our YouTube channel, which you can check out, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please do.
We lost one. We were at 567. We're down to 5. Yeah. Now we went down to 566. So yeah. Someone out there doesn't like us. Damn.
That's bastards. I'm going to hunt them down.
Thank you. Go get him, killer.
Please do. Yes. Thank you, Ethan.
Yes.
But anyways, yes. So thank you for doing that for us, Ethan. We really appreciate it. They've all been amazing. And actually, you're pretty much, oh, you're almost due to send us the new one here, because we're going to be, when this airs, we would have ranked.
I already ranked it. I'm done.
And I already sent you the thumbnail for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
I finished ranking that shit this morning. Done.
Oh, wow. Good for you. I'm going to do that tomorrow then.
13 tracks. Yeah. It was easy.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, there's a lot of great tracks on that one.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we're going to what? We'll have Memory Almost Full.
That'll be a very interesting thumbnail. Two chairs, two legs. I don't know.
I already have most of the thumbnail done.
I figured
I have them all done except for you two, all the way up until McCartney 3. I still need to do whatever, you know, 2000s, 2010s, non-album tracks, whatever that is. Because I don't know what songs you're going to rank, or if you're going to do the Kanye stuff or.
We're doing.
We're not doing the Kanye stuff.
Thank God.
No, we're not doing the Kanye stuff. But I'll send you that list. Don't worry. But I mean, it would be funny if you, for Memory Almost Full, if you just did the two legs from the chair.
I could still change that.
No, that'll be fine. I'm sure what you have is great.
No, it's probably not.
Yeah. But so. Ethan, thanks again for joining us. We've really enjoyed your company as always. You know, what you bring, you know, the laughs, you know, are always fun.
The laughing at my own jokes.
Yeah, the laughing. Oh, no, but seriously, though, thank you for being here. For everybody, you can check us out at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our website at twolegspodcast.com. Thank you very much, everybody. So if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. And I'm Tom.
I'm Andy.
Am I supposed to join in?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Ethan.
And this has been Two Legs. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. As always, have a great day and a beautiful night.